Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
What is good, everybody? Welcome to the Gold Diggers podcast here on the Gold Standard Podcast Network. I'm Rob Stats Guerrera. She's Michelle Majuk. Michelle, round one is in the books. Some 49er fans are not very happy.
You know what? I was one of those 49ers fans yesterday. Let's start on the positive note, right? They take Ricky Purcell. They take a wide receiver. Right now, all we know is that they have three wide receivers on this team. They have Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, and Ricky Purcell. And if you're adding him into the slot, it's an upgrade, right? I think overall, if you have those three guys, that's an upgrade to your team this year. Now, it's very weird to me that they would take a wide receiver, especially because sitting there, there are so many good players that drop because six quarterbacks went off the board, six other wide receivers went off the board before the 49ers. So this is the perfect position. They could grab one of the top cornerbacks in Cooper DeJean or Kool-Aid McKinstry. Johnny Newton, the second best defensive tackle, was on the board. Some consider him the best one in the board. They had Jackson Powers Johnson sitting there, but that could have immediately gave them a great starting center. So the pick was interesting to me, and that makes me feel like they do plan to trade either Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk.
So that is the big question. How does this move affect wide receivers? Does it affect them at all? We don't know. There were reports, Mike Silver reported that the Niners were, quote, likely to trade Deebo Samuel. He had that last night. Now, he also earlier this week said that Deebo has been assured by his bosses that he's not going to get traded. So it's a fluid situation. Here's what we know for sure. We know that the 49ers are not afraid to take big swings. We know that they don't rule anything out. And we know this because they talked about it after the draft yesterday. Give me one second, Michelle. Come up with something fun to say while I find that video.
So I'll talk about, this is really the era of rookie wide receivers, right? So at least one rookie wide receiver has hit 1,000-plus receiving yards in each of the last five seasons. That's the longest such streak in NFL history. And it hasn't, I mean, last year was Puka Nacua, right? It wasn't one of the four guys that went in the first round or all those guys that went early in the draft. It was the guy that went in the fifth round. So maybe that's Ricky Purcell, right? Like, that's the upside I'm going with here. We can talk about all the things I don't like about him later.
Isn't it Pearsall? Ricky Pearsall? You keep saying Purcell.
I don't know. I guess Pearsall.
Okay. Here's John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. I apologize if it's not totally queued up right, but you'll get to the point. Talking about Deebo and Brandon Ayuk.
I know that we're continuing to have positive talks with BA, and you know, we are really efforting to get something done with him, and we're excited about continuing down that path. And Brandon being a part of this team, Debo is a part of this team and a big part of this team. So, like I said, we feel great about that group, and we feel like we just made it better with another really good addition to it who complements the group real well. Never close the door on a trade. I mean, we.
Okay.
You know, we'll always listen, and we have, and but we like our group as it stands.
Well, it's logical to think that it would have taken something in the first round for you guys to consider trading Brandon, and now that the first round is over, that's unlikely that you would move him.
Yeah, I thought it was unlikely going into it, but that doesn't mean that it can't happen. So, I mean, you listen to everything. Everything's about trying to improve our team as much as we can for 2024 without with jeopardizing 25 as much as possible. So that's everything you look into. And whenever that opportunity comes, whichever way, if you can improve your team, you do that. Sometimes it's hard to picture proving your team, though, without them.
I mean, they've gone out of their way multiple times in that answer to say, we could definitely still trade them.
I know these press conferences are so pointless, right? Because they never going to give you a straight answer. You're never going to get really anything out of it. That could mean he's going to get traded. That means, no, we don't plan to trade him. It could be anything in between. This coaches lie because they have to, right? They can't show their hands. They can't tell you exactly what they're thinking because they can't let the other teams know. But yeah, I don't, after the first round, I really think that last night was the night that Brandon Ayuk would have been traded. I would be shocked if he gets traded now, but if they are going to keep Ayuk and pay him, then it doesn't make sense to also keep Debo, because you need to make Brandon Ayuk your focal point if you're going to give him $30 million a year.
And we'll see if they do. I don't know that they're going to have to. I mean, if you break down the Amon-Ra St. Brown deal, it's not as good as it looked initially. When you get into the actual details, there's some funny money at the end that inflate things. We'll see what the actual number ends up being. Shout out to Diego Figueroa, YouTube channel member, who says efforting is a word. John Lynch said they were efforting with Debo Samuel. I love that, because that is only a word I've ever heard in sports media. If you are trying to get a guest, especially like you're supposed to have a guest on the phone and the host is like, hey, where is it? Efforting is what you say. It just means like I'm trying, but for some reason you say efforting. I don't know why, but I've only ever heard the word like in a radio studio or a TV studio. So that just made me smile as an old radio man. Leaving says Debo's cap hit is $21 million if traded today. Here's the thing. The Niners have to sign their rookies, but after that, like, they're kind of done signing people. So who cares if you take a big cap hit for 2024? You're not adding people at this point. And the Niners clearly don't care because they're talking about trading him.
Yeah, but it's at the same time, why pay Debo to not be on your team? Why not just keep him? Like, I know you don't think he's as important to this offense as I do. I do think he's highly, highly important. I know you would like Kyle Shanahan to have to get out of his comfort zone and, you know, figure out a different way to find success in his offense. But that's a big risk. I mean, what if they go into next year and if they traded Debo, it's like, ooh, this isn't working out without Debo. Like, I mean, they were once they made it to overtime of the Super Bowl. It worked out with Debo. It just Patrick Mahomes.
Debo played in both Super Bowls. They didn't win either one. I'm just saying it's a risk not to change too. Like, both are risks. You just have to decide which risk you're more comfortable taking.
And I think I am. So I've been back and forth with who would I rather the 49ers keep. And you made a really good point. We were just on the Bleacher Report stream, like, what, a half an hour ago. And you made a really good point saying, like, if you were to trade Ayuk and lean on Debo, like, Debo gets hurt every single year. Like, it's just how he plays, and that, and you want him to play that way, right? That's when he's his best self, is when he plays that way. But he does get hurt because he's so aggressive and he takes those big hits. And Ayuk has been much, much healthier and able to stay on the field. Now, if you were to move on from Ayuk and you keep Debo, and then he even gets more touches, more likely to get hurt. And then you really have nobody there, I guess, now Ricky Pearsall. Pearsall. But then you're really in trouble. And Ayuk has been much healthier on the field more. I like that point by you, and that's a really, really solid point. So I do think, yeah, it would be a safer route to, you know, just pay Ayuk, keep him there, move on from Debo if you really want to.
Did you see the CJ Stroud reaction to the 49ers taking Ricky Pearsall last night, that was on the Bleacher Report stream. Did you happen to see that?
I didn't, but I would love to. I love CJ Stroud.
So CJ Stroud, you know, obviously fantastic player, did a really good job last year for the Texans. He was on the Bleacher Report stream and the Niners make the pick. And his reaction was as strong as really I've seen from anybody. Let's see if I can throw it up here on the screen. So if you're watching, okay, so here it is. This is CJ Stroud. He's second from the right if you're watching the stream. Here's his reaction when the pick happened.
For the San Francisco 49ers with the 31st pick, the Niners select.
Wow.
Your guy.
He almost falls out of his chair.
Hey, shout out to Pearson.
That was the first reaction I've seen you do that.
Damn.
And that brings up a lot of questions about Debo and Brandon Ayuk as the Niners go Ricky Pearsall from Florida. Shocking in that there's...
What? How is he even on their radar? Right. I'm happy for him now because he want to go in the first round and get some more money. I talked to him a couple times, man. Congrats, bro. That's big time. Bro, he's elite. You'll see.
He gets
especially
open.
In that offense, man. Kyle's going to dial it up for him.
Yeah.
That's why I feel like he was going to fit in our system.
4-4-1 with a 1-4-9 10-yard split.
Oh, he's nasty, bro.
Well, if you give him a free release, he gets open.
I don't care if you press him. You put on the Missouri game, they press man a lot.
It's bro. Like his agent, Michelle.
It's just that, like that, something like that.
Yeah.
Like Tank has it, like that. Just that little quick, little hezzy, like.
I literally wrote down rocker step.
So you get the idea there. CJ Stroud loved him.
I know. And CJ Stroud, you know, he was all up on Tank Dell last year and he made sure Houston got him. So maybe he knows what he's talking about. But we also have to remember AJ Brown cried when Elijah Moore got drafted and he was literally bawling, being like, he is so good. He's better than me. He is everything. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. So it's like, I mean, it's great to hear these good things out of CJ Stroud because I know a lot of us aren't as high on him as a player. So it's good to see, you know, hear from someone else's perspective, someone who knows the game, knows what he's looking for. So he could be good. Ricky Pearsall could be the next best wide receiver in the league. Who knows?
I mean, I feel like fans are more mad about it than the actual like NFL draft media, NFL analysts. All I'm saying is, you know my stance. We have no freaking idea. Nobody does. The teams don't know. We don't know. I'm looking for reasons to be happy. Why am I going to be miserable before the guy even plays? Let me at least enjoy this part of it, right? I mean, God damn it. So
I'll give you the reasons why I'm lower on him, right? Like, so it's not just the fact I didn't want the 49ers to take a wide receiver in the first round. Really, it didn't matter who they took unless they got one of the top three guys, right? They moved up or something. But I didn't want them to reach for any of the wide receivers because I felt like there's going to be guys at the end of the second that have the same skill set, have the same upside as anyone there to grab at the end of the first. And I still believe that. And then there were so many other good players there that they could have taken. But also Pearsall, it took him 5 years to even put up more than 660 receiving yards in a season. 5 years. He's 24 years old at the start of the season. And if he's so elite at separating and route running, then like, why wasn't he used more in college? Why wasn't he more productive? Why didn't he lead his team in receiving touchdowns? He barely led the team in targets. And also like every single time I see anything from him, it's that one-handed catch. It's all people show is that one-handed catch.
Awesome.
It's awesome. It's an awesome play, but you have to tell me those are the stickiest gloves of all time. It does. Like that ball does not stay there when you get hit like that, unless it's just super glued onto that glove. So like that one play made him a first round pick. Like that's really what it comes down to.
I
think that one, without that one play, he's not a first round pick.
They all
he'll still be in the second round. He's not a first round pick without that one play.
They
that
all wear all gloves. They all wear gloves. Nobody I else makes catches like that. If you think Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch saw that one play and they were like, okay, we could take him. Like, I know you don't really.
What's the reason why he was hyped up to the first round?
I think that they just watched all his tape and they liked him. It's not about what you do in college. Go look at George Kittle's college production. He did nothing. And then he got to the NFL and he set the record for receiving yards by a tight end in a single
season. You know that tight end and wide receiver are very, very different positions.
I'm just saying, just because a guy didn't produce in college doesn't mean there's no chance.
And that's definitely box score wise, 100%. It doesn't mean it whatsoever. You know me, I'm all about the advanced stats. If you don't have the box score stats, I don't care at all. And if you had good advanced stats, I'm like, okay, well, you could do it then in a better situation with more opportunity. But his advanced stats were all below average when you go through everything. But the one that really stuck out to me was the 2.2 yards per route run. That is so incredibly low. And that is a very, very sticky stat from college to the NFL is your yards per route run. That's one of the biggest ones that actually translate from college to the NFL. That ranks 79th among wide receivers with 50 plus targets last year. So again, I'm just saying, 23 years old, he finally had somewhat of a decent year in that in the box score. He had somewhat of a decent year. It was still really bad in advanced stats. I don't like the pick, but with Kyle Shanahan, he's going to be completely fine. He can separate. He can get open in this offensive system. If he's fed the ball, he will put up yards. It's also surprising because he's not great after the catch. So very different compared to what Kyle Shanahan is used to. He's very below average in yards after the catch as well. Just an interesting pick.
Paul Hope from 49ers Faithful UK. What up, Paul? Good morning. Says, waking up across the pond to this pick, I was a little stunned. Hadn't seen this in 14,605 mock drafts. And I think that's really why 49er fans are upset, Michelle. This was not a guy that was in the first round in a lot of mocks. And I think that's why people are mad. And look, I get that because we've spent, you know, months finally getting to read mock drafts again because the 49ers had a pick. And you see all these names and you get excited about these guys. That happens. But that doesn't mean they picked a bad player. All it means is he wasn't mocked in the first round. Did anybody have Michael Penix going top 10 to the Falcons? Kirk Cousins didn't even have that. You actually had Penix in the top 10?
Well, I thought the Raiders were going to trade up to get him, and they did try. But I guess the Falcons just needed to have him. The Saints and the Raiders both tried to trade up for him. I would have loved either landing spot. But now they just need to ruin Michael Penix's career and keep him as a backup for whatever reason. That bothered me. Also, this comment by, let's put it up, Wheelchair Jimmy. I do not like this comment at all. And this is what bothers me.
Hold on. Shout out Moon Man Ed, new YouTube channel member. Thank you.
It says, hey, this girl knows more than John Lynch and Shanahan. Amazing. Like, that's not the point of this. I'm not saying I know more, but this also really bothers me because we act like they've never made mistakes. I mean, are you going to act like their last first round pick was brilliant in Trey Lance? That was that last first round pick. How did that go? And also, only three of the 49ers, 18 draft picks over the last two drafts, have started more than one game in their career. And it's three such players is the second fewest in the NFL during the span. Only the Dolphins have had fewer guys. And the Dolphins have had like five picks over the last 2 years. So we're talking about, it's not even close to the same comparison to the 49ers, 18 picks. And that's Brock Purdy, who amazing pick. Spencer Burford is one of those guys who should no longer be starting. He had a 28.3 PFF passing blocking grade this past year. So he just started out of necessity and he's gone. And then Jair Brown, who made five starts as a rookie, looks solid enough, but you're talking about two guys out of 18 draft picks that have done anything for your team. So, like, don't give me this, oh, you think, I'm not saying that he can't be good. I'm not saying they don't know what they're doing, but we're allowed to question them. Like, that's so irritating.
Yeah, also, this girl, dude, that is so irritating to me. Like, get out of here, Jimmy. This girl. Yeah, so you know what? It's okay for women to talk about football and question picks that teams make. Like, grow up. Seriously.
This girl very much didn't like the Trey Lance pick, so.
This girl works for the NFL Network, okay? Like, go pound sand. I have no tolerance for that. Coordinated Ace 5 says, hey, Stats, here repping the Twitch fam. This pick was definitely a head scratcher, but we have more picks today. Hopefully we'll fill some keyholes in our lineup today. Yes, thank you, Ace. The draft isn't over. They still got a bunch more picks.
So in fact, picks.
I'll throw them up on the screen right now. There you go. You can see all the picks the 49ers have, even if they don't make a trade, right? They still have 9 more picks in the draft. They've got 2 today. They've got 3 fourth-round picks. A 5th-round pick, 2 sixth, and a 7th-round pick. Let's wait for the entire picture to develop before everybody starts freaking out about stuff. If you want more on Pearsall and why 49er fans maybe should be excited and happy, here's Kyle Shanahan yesterday after the first round talking about it.
There's not one play that you see him turn something down. Yeah. I mean, he's going to go over the middle and do everything he can to catch that ball and not worry about anything else. When he's on the sidelines, he's not taking the easy way out. He makes guys tackle him. He's not looking for a place to fall. And when he doesn't have the ball, he plays just as hard when the ball's not in his hands.
That sounds awesome. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, I mean, he could be so good, right? We don't know. Now, again, it's so interesting for them to take this position, right? Because there was, again, there was other guys there that they could have taken at corner or defensive tackle or offensive line, an area of need. I wonder if they did think wide receiver was an area of need because they do plan to trade one of these guys. And I think that's the most interesting part of this draft pick is the position that they decided they needed to take. Now, you're not supposed to draft on need. I 100% get that. You're supposed to draft best player available. And maybe the 49ers saw this board and said, Ricky Pearsall is the best player available by far. I have a hard time believing that with the other talent on the board. So again, it makes me believe that it wasn't just best player available. The reason they took him because they feel like wide receivers also a need, which then turns into what's going to happen today. Are Deebo Samuel and or Brandon Ayuk still on the 49ers as of tomorrow?
I don't know. Mike Silver said Deebo was likely to get traded. I know the Patriots had preliminary talks about Deebo Samuel yesterday. That's been reported. The Patriots have 34 and 68. That could be potentially an enticing proposition for the 49ers. But Kyle talked about this yesterday, too. Even if they keep all these guys, Juwan Jennings is your third wide receiver. Well, he's on a one-year deal right now. You don't know if he's going to bring back, if you're going to bring him back. After that, it's Ronnie Bell. It's Chris Conley. Like, yeah, Ayuk potentially would be here if you re-sign him, although that's not a given either. So, like, wide receiver is kind of a need for the 49ers, even if it's not their most immediate, most pressing need. It is a need. I don't like this comment. I don't know how to say this. G. Voorhees. I apologize if I butchered that. If you put it in the chat, I'll say it correctly. The worst pick in the entire draft, hands down. Nobody had this guy in the first, second, or third. That's how awful it was. How do you know that?
Most people had him in the second. Most people had him in the second. I don't even like him. He's my wide receiver 14. I would have still, if I did a mock draft in the second round, he would have still been late second rounder for me. Most people had him going in the second round. But yeah, I didn't see many mocks of him going in the first. But you can't say it's the worst pick in the draft when Michael Penix Jr., the Falcons took him after, you know, signing a 36-year-old Kirk Cousins in a win now mode. And you're like, we need the backup quarterback.
That whole thing is crazy. But just because you didn't see him in mock drafts doesn't mean he's a bad player, right? It really doesn't. So this morning when I woke up, because I was still, you know, hyped up about the draft, I went to sleep this morning and I woke up this morning. I tweeted out a couple of comments from 2020 after that draft. And guess what? People were saying the exact same stuff about Brandon Ayuk that they're saying about Ricky Pearsall right now. Oh, the 49ers reached. Oh, he was overdrafted. Oh,
I loved Ayuk coming out of school. I absolutely loved him.
And that's to your credit and good for you. But my point is that, like, the same things that people are saying about Pearsall now, they were saying about Brandon Ayuk, and that pick worked out. So don't get all bent out of shape if you go read a bunch of grades today and the 49ers don't get an A. Like, that doesn't mean anything. It's utterly meaningless.
Yeah. No, it is. So many times you can go back in grades and teams that scored an A, their draft ended up stinking. Teams that scored an F, they're good. I will say the wild picks, normally it's always the Raiders, all right? Like the Alex Leatherwoods, like the picks that come out of left field, they do typically end up not being good, right? GMs who think they're smarter than everyone else in consensus. But I don't think Ricky Pearsall was that far off of consensus where they took him. Maybe like 10 picks too early, but it wasn't like a crazy reach. It's just, with, you know, you and I both really love Johnny Newton, defensive tackle out of Illinois. He was sitting right there with Cooper DeJean and Kool-Aid McKinstry, two really good corners coming out of this class. Like, that's what makes it hard to swallow. It's not so much the pick. It's what they left behind. Now, we'll see, like, if they trade Deebo, right, then they got their wide receiver that they feel really, really confident in, and then maybe they get one of these top guys at the top of the second round. There's still so much to be answered that it's hard to say. We can't judge them for this draft until the end of tomorrow.
Right. Until it's actually over. not even the end of tomorrow. There's 2 days left in it. Oh, tomorrow. Yeah, sorry. I apologize. James Thomas says, Brugler, Daniel Jeremiah, Renner, and Harmon all like Ricky Pearsall. Late first is basically a second as far as ranking. Maybe the Niners were like, look, we don't, this guy's not going to be there with our second round pick, so we're taking him now. We're not messing around. And, oh, by the way, like you said, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Johnny Newton, Cooper DeJean, Roger Rosengarten, they're all still there. So the 49ers could get both. That's not out of the question at all, especially if they trade Debo.
And what's nice, right? So I said a big reason why I didn't want to take wide receivers is because it's so deep. And I think they could grab a really good guy at the end of the second. Now they don't have to do that, whatever. But it does seem like the cornerbacks are really, really falling. So unfortunately, I would love to know if they were planning on taking Nate Wiggins, right? So Nate Wiggins goes one pick before to the Ravens. You know why the Ravens are still good at drafting? Because they don't overthink it. They're like, this player's really, really good. We're going to take him. Like how Kyle Hamilton fell to them. I will have no idea. Teams overthink everything. And they're like, yeah, we're going to think this is a really, really good player. Nate Wiggins is such a good player. He's just a little skinny. And they're like, yeah, we're going to take this really good player that keeps falling for no reason. So he goes one pick before the 49ers. But I brought up those two top corners have fallen. But then also the second tier of corners are really, really interesting as well. These are guys I was thinking about maybe they could be end of the first round or maybe the 49ers could grab them in the second round. But Mike San, I hate these last names. San Ristel out of Michigan, would love him to be a 49er, would instantly be an upgrade in the slot corner. TJ Tampa out of Iowa State, Kamari Lassiter out of Georgia. Max Mellon maybe would be a third round pick, late second out of Rutgers. But like there's some really good cornerbacks still on the board. So I am okay with them being like, we're not going to reach, or not, it wouldn't be a reach if they took Cooper DeJean there, but we're not going to go with corner. We think it's a little bit more loaded. We can get a guy in the second round. I just would have assumed they would have went offensive line or defensive tackle, but again, they didn't. There's still so many good players on the board.
So that's all part of the puzzle too. It's like, okay, who's available? Maybe if they're like, there aren't that many other receivers that we like, and there's more of these other guys that we think are going to be available later in the draft, you have to play that game too. It all goes into the stew when you're trying to figure this out. I didn't even mention, by the way, I know you're talking corners, but Jackson Power Johnson is still there for the 49ers if they wanted to go. I wouldn't mind seeing him.
He's another guy that I think people are just overthinking on. No, maybe I don't. So this is the thing. We don't have this information, right? He started falling over the last month because of concussion issues, right? His concussion history, and people are worried about that. Like if he gets a concussion, it's probably going to be one of those situations where it's not just the 1 week miss. He's had a lot in his young career so far, but I do, again, like he's a center. How much is he really falling on the ground? Like don't knock your head on the ground, like learn how to fall correctly. I don't know. Jackson Powers Johnson, I think, would immediately be a very, very solid starter for a center for any team. We'll see how much he keeps falling, but clearly there's more medical issue scares. These teams are more scared than I thought they were going to be.
I would love Jackson Powers Johnson. He can play center or guard, which, you know, maybe he starts at guard, kind of like a Cam Jurgens did with the Eagles. Start him at guard, and then Kelsey retires. Now Jurgens is going to be the center. Just put your five best offensive linemen on the field if you know they're so bad at guard because of Burford. If Jackson Powers Johnson can outplay Feliciano, then you keep Brendel at center and you put him at guard for a year. Whatever you got to do, I would absolutely love that in the second round. There are so many guys. If they could somehow get Johnny Newton, then I would be like overjoyed. If you get Johnny Newton and you get him in the second round, that would be a home run for the 49ers. 103 pressures the last 2 years for Johnny Newton as a defensive tackle, 22 and a half sacks, hasn't missed a game in the last 4 years. I know he's undersized. I don't care. Give me that guy. Give me a disruptor in the middle of the field. The Niners need a defensive lineman. I think he would be my number one choice for the second round if they could swing it.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yeah, they're going to have to move up for him if they want him, probably. I mean, he's going to go off the board pretty soon here. He'd be a home run hit. I would absolutely love Johnny Newton and the 49ers. And also, like, I'm not worried about his size when it comes to the 49ers line. I think that's a perfect addition for him. They already have size. They already have really good players. He's not going to have to worry about double coverage or anything like that. And he's such a good pass rusher for the interior, for an interior defensive lineman. 22 and a half tackles for loss as well. So you brought up the quarterback pressures, but he's just always right where the play is. And he is willing to track on the player going all the way down towards the sideline. Like, he's such a good player. And like you mentioned, he hasn't missed a game in four years in his four seasons at college. And it wasn't because he wasn't playing a ton. They're keeping him healthy. He never came off the field. He averaged 62 and a half snaps per game in 2023. Like, this guy is so good. I love him. He's like such a competitor. I think he would instantly make a big impact for them this year. I would have loved them to take him at the 31st overall pick. But again, maybe they can trade up and they can get him. But yes, this would be, if they were to land him, man, I would be chugging some champagne, which I already am.
Thomas Latrell says, we don't pick till 63. Ain't no one giving up a top spot in the second round to move that far back. All these players will fly off the board in the first 10 picks. Maybe they trade Debo and they get the first pick in the second round. The Bills have the first pick today. Maybe they trade for Debo and then you're back. You know, that's sort of one of the cool things about the way that they have rearranged the draft is that, because there's all this time off after round one, all these teams, like, they're all scheming, they're all planning, they're all strategizing for what to do the rest of the draft. It's not like on the fly like it used to be back in the day when it was just 2 days of draft, and once it started, it was like a friggin' marathon, and, you know, you're in the moment, like, you have time to just take a breath, figure out what you want to do, make your calls, right? The Bills could have called the 49ers last night and been like, hey, we want Debo, we'll trade you this and this. And John Lynch could be like, all right, let me sleep on it. Let me think about it. And, you know, you don't have to make that decision like in the moment. So I like sort of this new layout.
I will say, let's say they figure out a way to pay Ayuk. They keep Debo. They have Ricky Purcell in the slot. Someone asked if I like him. Sorry, I don't remember who asked it. And it was a long ways up this comment list. If I like him more than Juwan Jennings, I don't think it's a fair comparison. They're completely two. I mean, they are the most opposite players of all time. But I think it's a good different. You can have all four guys at times, but yeah, they would rotate in and out depending on what you needed on that play. I think they're too different to compare, but let's say they're able to keep them all. And then they like you brought up, I think this was on the Bleacher Report podcast. They have so many picks in day three. And they, as I said, they have not gotten much out of their players that they have drafted lately. Use those picks, trade up and get an immediate impact player like a Johnny Newton, right? That will actually come in and be someone that you can lean on in their rookie season. You don't need to wait on them. You like, it's an area of need as well. So he'll be on the field. And I think if that, in that case, if you're able to do that all right, keep Purcell. I can't say it. If you keep him in the slot, you still have those two guys on the outside and move them all around. I mean, they can all be moved around, right? And then you added Johnny Newton, you traded up for him. I think that's a huge, all around, that's a really nice upgrade for the 49ers. Like, yeah, you still have the concerns on the offensive line. You're kind of bringing back the same offensive line as last year. You don't love that, but that would be a really nice upgrade for those two areas.
I would be 100% down with that. You don't have nine spots on the team. You have nine draft picks as of right now. So use them. You know, you can use draft picks multiple ways. You could use them to trade for established players. You could use them to trade up to get a higher pick. Figure it out, man. I'm completely in agreement with what you said. Shout out to Joshua Garver watching on X. Says, miss you guys. Haven't had the heart to listen since the Super Bowl loss. Perfect analysis. Look, I don't know if it's perfect analysis. Thank you for the compliment, Joshua. We never promise 100% accuracy on this show. We always promise 100% authenticity. That's all we can promise you. Hopefully we're right. We try to be right, but we're not always right.
And everything I say, I truly believe because I research it. It doesn't mean it's going to be right, but it's what I believe in the moment. It's what I've researched. I'm never just saying things without actually doing the research and having a certain, I always give you the reason why I feel that certain way, but Pearsall could be, you know, a Hall of Famer for all I know. I've been wrong about many things before. But that's just my information here. I will say we got a comment from Hind that says, Kyle said third round is for running backs. If the 49ers take a running back in the second or third round, I'm done. I'm done with the team. I'm not on the podcast anymore. I'm out. All right. It's well, over. My 49ers career is over.
Kyle was on KMBR yesterday, Michelle, and he was as good a mood as I can remember. Listen to Kyle on KMBR.
Running back in the fourth round, Kyle, is that a lot?
Third round.
Third round.
That's our spot.
That's your spot, the fourth round.
We're going to get a running back in the third. Probably won't work out. We're going to find a Kittle in the fifth, a Green on the fifth.
Are you going to be able to get a tight end in the fifth?
Just trade everything the fifth.
Yeah, you get a second running back in the sixth. That one will be the real one.
It will, of course. Yeah. Wait till that last pick.
Well, yeah, that's when we really
know. How was it to draft in the first round? You actually wore a suit today. I was impressed.
We always do this in the first round. It's just been 2 years. Since we'll see.
How about that? I mean, I haven't seen Kyle in that good of a mood since they, you know, in a really, really long time. He was right
that's
there
the
with
most
you.
Likable that Kyle Shanahan has ever been. Like, he was so likable there. He actually like, made fun of himself. He didn't take himself so seriously. He joked, like, that was like a really like a breath of fresh air to see that from Shanahan. That was nice.
But so here's the thing. It shows that like he, like you said, he's reflected a little bit, but also like, I like the fact that if he's like, look, I think a running back is the best person to take in this spot. Has it not worked out in the past? Yes. Does that have any bearing on whether this works out? No. Like I kind of like, I like both sides of it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but I hope, like, I think him joking in that way really means, like, please just don't take a running back.
What if, can you, like, there has to be a moment. Let's say they're in the draft room, it comes up again in the third round, and just purely by circumstance, it's like, oh, crap, a running back is first on our board again. There has to be a moment in his head is when he's like, can we just trade down, please? Like, just trade down one pick, and hopefully somebody else takes him. I would like them to take a running back at some point. Doesn't have to be today, doesn't have to be early. I would like them to get another running back, even if it was an undrafted guy. So I hope that they do that. They've had success, a really good success with the undrafted free agents in this regime. Emmanuel Mosley was an undrafted free agent. Jordan Mason was an undrafted free agent. They have hit on a few of those.
Yeah, and also they've been able to hit on the late draft picks too, with running backs. The thing that I get annoyed is everyone's like, oh, they're able to get anybody in here for running back, and then they still were using those high draft picks on them, and then they still traded for Christian McCaffrey. So it's like, well, you didn't really benefit you, right? You didn't utilize that, but Christian McCaffrey has been so good, it doesn't matter. I will say, I wonder if we see Luke McCaffrey come to the 49ers, and day two is probably a little too early for him, but maybe the fourth round. I would love to see that.
You've already got a wide receiver. Why do you need to add Luke McCaffrey now? That should take off.
Yeah, I guess that would just report. Be. See, they could. I swear to God, Luke McCaffrey has the same exact ceiling as Pearsall. So this is what I'm talking about. I didn't even think about that. That, yeah, now you're not even going to go grab Luke McCaffrey because they're like pretty much the same player anyways. Oh. So, but this is why I get irritated. And then also I really wanted them to have a shot to take Jatavion Sanders, the tight end out of Texas in the late second round, but you can't have two luxury picks like this. So now all the luxury picks are kind of out the door. You took your luxury pick in the first round and you could have I would have rather Luke McCaffrey in the fourth than Pearsall in the first.
But here's the thing. We don't actually know if Luke McCaffrey can play. If his name was Luke Mitchell, would anybody be jonesing after this guy from Rice that's only played wide receiver for 2 years? No.
Listen, his stats are much more impressive than Pearsall's. His advanced stats, everything. Like, and he's only been playing for 2 years. I think his ceiling, like, we have Pearsall playing for 5 years in college, 5 years at wide receiver in college. And I don't know what he did in high school, but I'm guessing also wide receiver. And he's 24 now. You're telling me Luke McCaffrey, who has put up better numbers, advanced stats, hasn't had the experience, doesn't have a higher, maybe he doesn't have as high of the floor as Pearsall for sure. I'll give you that. It's not as safe of a pick, but that's why you'd get him in the fourth instead of the first. It doesn't matter. It didn't happen, but that just created a whole other frustration in my mind.
Sasha Spitzer says, that's a crazy statement. Luke McCaffrey and Pearsall have the same ceiling. The two aren't even in similar tiers.
Different floors, same ceiling. Yes.
I mean, I would be really interested to see if so many people wanted the 49ers to take Luke McCaffrey if he wasn't Christian McCaffrey's brother. That's all I'm saying. And look, I was hoping for him too. I'm not going to lie. But like, am I going to be super mad that they might not get Luke McCaffrey now? No. No. I mean,
and they could still take him. It's not like, especially if they end up trading Debo, you can't just put all your eggs in the Pearsall basket, right? You can't just say, oh, he's going to take a spot. Like, if they do end up trading one of these guys, and I do think they end up, there's no way they just take one wide receiver in this draft if they do trade Debo or Ayuk, which I don't think an Ayuk trade is happening at this point. But if not, then yeah, you're not going to draft another wide receiver.
Mike Silver tweeted this morning, quote, play this out. Niners don't trade Debo. They pay Ayuk. Debo then has a lame duck season in which he watches his successor and the incumbent receiver they chose over him be focal points of the offense. Seems awkward. I expect a trade. Or how about this, Debo? Be better at what you do. And then that solves the problem. It was the same thing with Jimmy Garoppolo when people were like, oh my God, Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance. This is so terrible for Jimmy Garoppolo. It's your own fault. Be better, be more reliable, and then you don't end up in this situation. So I don't care if it's awkward for Debo Samuel. Be better, dude. You haven't lived up to your contract. That is not opinion. That is a fact. In the Super Bowl, you were the focal point of the offense, and you came up small. So I don't want to hear about how awkward this is for Debo Samuel. Sorry, dude. Be better, and then you don't have to worry about it.
Did Ayuk not also come up small in the Super Bowl?
Well, Ayuk didn't get 11 targets. Debo Samuel did. The game plan was built around Debo, and they had to go to Juwan Jennings in a critical moment, in all the critical moments, basically. Like, I cannot stand that. Oh, this might be awkward for somebody. Tough. That's what the millions of dollars are for.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the awkwardness. This is the part of the sport. It's competition. And if you don't bring in competition for these players, that's a bad way to build your team. So I'm absolutely, I'm not worried about his feelings. But I think you underrate Debo Samuel by a decent margin.
Sasha Spitzer says, Pearsall's stats at Florida rested on terrible quarterback play. Are you buying that?
I mean, most of these guys have terrible quarterback play, right? But, I mean, like, that's kind of how the advanced stats are supposed to help them out, and they don't. But, yeah, I mean, it definitely is a part of it, right? It's not like Florida had this amazing offense that he was in. But, again, he didn't lead his team in receiving touchdowns. He only had 4, and he barely led the team in targets. So, why wasn't he more dominant in school? That's all.
Want to hear a weird nugget that I just came across from a friend of the show, Al Sacco, who says the Niners have actually only made 4 picks in the second round in the Shanahan Lynch era. Can you name them? This would be trivia. I'm putting you on the spot. I realize 4 picks in the second round.
Oh, in the second round?
Yep.
Drake Jackson.
Correct.
I'm not going to get this. Debo Samuel.
Correct. One's another starter.
No, Mike McGlinchey was early.
Nope. Right church, wrong pew.
What?
Right church, wrong pew.
I don't even know what that means.
You never heard that expression?
I'm guessing. Are you saying like right position?
Right spot on the team, wrong position.
I don't know.
Keep Aaron going. Banks.
Oh, Aaron Banks. That's so stupid. I knew Aaron Banks. I knew Aaron Banks 100%. Who is the fourth one?
Dante Pettis.
Oh, Dante Pettis. I didn't know he was in their era, but yeah, that makes sense. I like Dante Pettis. So talk about me being wrong. I told you I've been wrong about things. I liked Dante Pettis. I thought he was going to be a star. And his rookie season, he looked like he might be, but man, he fell off.
Got a block. If you don't block, I mean, you're not going to see the ball. You're not going to see the field, really. Kyle talked about Pearsall's blocking.
Pearsall, according to Dane Brugler, he's not a very good blocker. So that's weird.
I'm trying to see really quick if he says anything about his blocking.
He does. He said like he'll try, but he's not very good at it.
But honestly, I do think that's part of it with Kyle. Like, I think they are looking for that kind of mentality. Because I think it's really hard if you don't have that kind of mentality to all of a sudden like instill that in somebody and be like, you got to really block. Like, you either have that kind of dog in you or you don't. And you might not be very good at it. It says weaknesses, willing as a blocker, but struggles to sustain the point of attack. Yeah, maybe the Niners are like, look, we'll make you a better blocker, but you got to be willing to do the work.
Do you see that he can, like, if you had to give him a comp, do you have one for Purcell when you watch him? Do you think of anyone?
So Kyle was asked this yesterday in the press conference, and he was smart because he didn't want to say anyone. So he said, I don't want to answer this. He reminds me of me, except he's way faster and does everything better. Like, when I saw that in print, I freaked out on the stream last night. But when I heard the full context, it made it a little better. The comp that Dane Brugler has, he didn't. I thought I saw it in here, but
I don't think he does comps, does he?
For some of the guys, he does. He'll say it in like the final quotes. He didn't have it in here for Pearsall. He says Pearsall wasn't a home run hitter on tape, but his reliable receiving option with the route quickness and ball skills to quickly become a favorite target for an NFL quarterback. He has the skill set and toughness to work inside or outside and return punts on the next level, which is also something Shanahan and Lynch talked about. As a punt returner, I don't think he has ever muffed a punt in his career.
That's awesome. And they need a reliable punt returner. I think that's huge. Like, if he can be the punt returner, love that. Again, like, it's not like I would give them an F for this pick. I did before the draft, I said, please don't take a wide receiver at the end of the first. So no matter really who they took here at the end of the first, even if it was a guy I really liked, like Brian Thomas Jr. or Troy Franklin or Xavier Worthy or like any of those guys that I'm a big fan of, I still would have said, man, like Johnny Newton was on the board or Cooper DeJean was on the board. Like, it still would have hurt. And then it also just double whammy because I'm not the biggest Pearsall fan. But it's not the worst pick ever. Like,
nobody took Cooper DeJean. So the whole league didn't think he was a first round
pick. And nobody would have took Ricky Pearsall, though. Like, if the 49ers don't take him, the Panthers already said they're taking. They made it. They told Xavier Legette we're taking it 33rd overall, no matter what. And then they moved up to make sure they got him at 32nd, I guess. But so he wasn't going to go in the first either. We don't know how far he would have fallen.
Nick Eller, YouTube channel member. Shout out to Nick and all our YouTube channel members. Please become one. It's less than $3 a month. It's a great way to support the channel. If you've gotten any value from anything we've done, we do appreciate it. Nick Eller says, Eric Crocker gave the comp for Ricky Pearsall as Adam Thielen, which if you told me he was Adam Thielen, like that kind of production, I would take that right now. Adam Thielen was a really good player for a really good period of time. I'd be down for that.
Yeah, I mean, it took Thielen a really long time to do anything in the NFL, but he wasn't a first-round pick, so it's completely different. Was he undrafted?
Yeah, I want to say he was undrafted. I was just checking that. Well, that's going to be the question with Pearsall, too, is like, how quick can he get on the field? Yeah, he was undrafted, I believe.
Yeah, so that's a reason why it takes a long time for you to earn those snaps and targets. But, I mean, yeah, if he turns into Adam Thielen, you're going to be thrilled. He could... He doesn't have to do all that much to not be a busted pick, right? You're in Kyle Shanahan's offense. You're going to have the space. He's already a really good route runner and a good separator, right? And Kyle Shanahan's going to give you even more space. And it's not like he has bad hands, so he'll catch the ball, right? We saw that. I mean, he puts glue on his hands, so of course he has good hands. So we're not going to have to worry about that. It's just the difference maker type of player. I don't think he's a difference maker. And that's what you like out of your first round picks. But again, it was the 31st overall. You normally don't score an elite prospect at 31st overall unless you're the Steelers who got TJ Watt, at 30th?
Yeah.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Eric Echezaretta, shout out to you, new YouTube channel member. See, I ask and Eric answer. So thank you very much. I appreciate that, Eric. Welcome to all the YouTube channel members. I do appreciate it. Okay. Hind, by the way, says, did you see the David Tepper video? Have you heard about this, Michelle?
No.
So there was a restaurant in Charlotte that had a sign outside the door, and it said, let the GM and the coach make the picks. And apparently David Tepper was walking by and saw the sign and went into the restaurant and like confronted whoever put up the sign, who was wearing, I think, a hat, maybe a Panthers hat, and like took the hat off of their head. Now, ultimately, I think it ended up with a handshake and Tepper walking out. But like, dude, if I'm wearing a hat and then a grown man comes in and takes it off of my head, like, we're going to have a problem.
Like, there's other, if he was just trying to be goofy and like pull a prank on him and be like fine with it, there's other ways to do it. There's other ways you could have like pranked him. But yeah, don't touch anybody. That's my advice to everyone. Do not touch someone. So I had one time this guy, it was just like happened like a couple months ago. So that's why it's in my head. I was at Target or something, and I was wearing a sweatshirt and my tag was sticking out, and this guy who's probably like 45 years old comes up and tucks my tag in, and he goes, sorry, it was just bothering me so bad. And I was like, that was weird. Don't do that. Like, that's weird. Don't come up and touch anybody, let alone like, don't, like, I just let my tag be out, or just tell me, hey, your tag's out and I'll fix it myself. But anyways, that has nothing to do with this, but yeah, just don't touch people. Don't touch strangers.
That's creepy. That's just, yeah. I wanted to touch you and I'm using the tag as an excuse. Like, what did he think was going to happen? Like, you were going to be like, ooh, you have such strong hands.
Yeah. I literally said to him, I said, that's weird. He was like, that's weird of you to do. Like, what the hell?
That is definitely creepy. Not going to lie. Yeah. David Tepper comes across to me like, no.
Well, he has a lot of issues, right? Yeah. He has a lot of stuff on him.
I'm not a fan. I like this comment from Dean, getting back to Brandon Ayuk. 49ers picking up a receiver now allows them to keep Ayuk and care less about him holding out. I want Shanahan to call BA and tell him if he doesn't show up to camp, he's getting benched. 3 games. I mean, that's a lot. But it is a nice thing for the 49ers. Like, hey, you know, we don't want BA to sit out. But if he does, we do have a guy that we drafted in the first round that we think could be pretty good.
The whole sit out thing, it's just causing a lot of drama. You don't want to have to deal with this all summer long. Like, the drama does add up. You feel like these teams who deal with the drama in the offseason, it does feel to really affect them during the season, at least the players and their production. It's very rare. I mean, I guess Chris Jones did it this last year for the Chiefs, but I do think it matters how much the media is making it, like making a big deal of it as well. And yeah, Chris Jones is one of the best defensive players, and it was a lot of talk around it, but he's still a defensive player. It's not, you don't get as much like media hype and like questions about it as you do if you're a top tier offensive player. I don't want to deal with that headache.
John Lynch himself said he wants these things to be wrapped up earlier than they've been wrapped up in the past, which my response to that would be, great, then wrap it up, John. Like, pay them the money that they want, and then you can
And someone brought up Bosa almost missed games last season. We didn't miss a beat. 100% true, but I don't think Bosa was worried about it, right? Bosa knew he was going to get his deal. It was going to happen. I don't know if Brandon Ayuk feels comfortable that he's going to get his deal. I think it's a different situation. And we have to remember, Bosa grew up rich. He has rich family. His brother is rich. Like, he's not worried about anything. He was the first overall pick, second overall pick.
Kyler was first.
Second overall. Like, he wasn't worried, and he knew he was going to get it. I think it's a different situation.
But also, Bosa said it affected him. Like, Bosa did not have as good of a season last year as he had the year before. Now, he was a defensive player of the year before, so that's a tough bar to live up to. But Bosa said it disrupted his workouts. It affected how quickly he got off to his start with the Niners. Like,
his first half of the season, I mean, he had like no sacks, right? He had a lot of quarterback pressures, but right, he wasn't able to get to the quarterback, and that could have been his training during the offseason. I mean, it's a lot of the difference between getting a pressure and a sack is how fast you can get off the line of scrimmage, how good your technique is. And that makes a big difference between just pressures turning into sacks, and maybe him not having that same routine as he would have had if they just signed him. That did mess with his production a little bit.
Robin Pratt says, the two of you together are so awesome. Thank you, Robin. I appreciate that. Let me just say, we just did the Bleacher stream like a half hour, 45 minutes ago. There are some mean people on that.
So many mean people. I was like, I miss my gold standard family and the commenters. Yeah. because like even when we get mean comments in here, it's not like they're not like mean. It's just like, you know, we're just having debates. But and I'm down for debates. But the Bleacher Report, they were not nice to us.
Yeah, I tend to think we do a pretty good show, but apparently, you know what it is? People are cranky after the Pearsall pick. They wanted someone that they've read about in mock drafts, and they didn't get that. So now they're, you know, holding their breath and stamping their feet and trying to make a big show as if they are scouts and they know who the hell to pick. It's fine to give side eye to the 49ers. You have done it. I will do it. I've done it in the past. I'm fine with it. But that's all it is.
As much side eye as we give them, right? And whatever, we still, like last year going into the season, we gave them side eye in the offensive line. And, you know, will Brock Purdy be 100%? And they were right about Brock Purdy being 100%. They were not right about the offensive line. But at the same time, we did say they're going to make it to the Super Bowl, right? Or they're at least going to make it to the NFC Championship. We were 100% on that. And it was Super Bowl or bust. That's going to be the same thing this year. When we're picking apart this team, it's not because we think they're going to be bad. They're going to be great, but this team is Super Bowl win or bust. That means you have to be highly, highly critical, and every move matters that much more because you got to get over the hump. You got to win one of these rings. Come on.
I agree. I just want to mention this really quick before we wrap up for the day. Roger Goodell was on the Pat McAfee show. He said he ideally wants to go to 2 preseason games, 18 regular season games, and extend the calendar by a week, which would put Super Bowl Sunday on a 3-day weekend, which I got to tell you, I could get behind Super Bowl Sunday on a 3-day weekend.
I mean, I would love the 3-day weekend. That makes a lot of sense. I don't want an 18. I already think 17 weeks has felt too long, or the 17 games has felt too long. Like that extra game has felt very pointless, has not felt needed. And I really don't think we need an 18th.
The 18 games would also, it would be spread over 20 weeks. So you'd get an extra bye week in there, which I wouldn't mind either because these guys are so banged up. And what you don't want is like the playoffs to be determined by which team has the fewest injuries, because that always feels like luck, right? I mean, hell, Dre Greenlaw popped his Achilles running onto the field at the Super Bowl. So I would
celebrating.
Yeah. Like I would like an extra bye week in there. They've always wanted to go to 18 games. That was what they wanted when they went to 17 games, but they knew they couldn't get it through.
I'm wondering if players would prefer 18 games if they knew it was 2 bye weeks than 17 games with 1 bye week. I do think that sounds nicer for the players. You got to add one more game, but you get another week off. And, you know, that does sound pretty smart. As a fantasy person, you know, this seems like a headache for me and what I love to do, but I can't be selfish here. I do. Yeah. If for the players, it makes sense. But man, they're going to just keep extending and extending and extending. The season's already really long.
I'm not going to complain about a longer season. That's better business for me. Before we go, let's answer this last super chat. Philip Roziel says, do the 49ers draft a linebacker to complement Warner and Greenlaw? They're so good at evaluating the position. I think the backups aren't working out. So what I have heard, and again, this is only what I've heard. I'm not a draft expert, but that this draft is not great for linebackers. The Niners did draft 2 linebackers last year. So you would hope that at least one of those guys could be a capable backup. They're going to need one of them, I think, to step up while Dre Greenlaw, you know, gets back to full strength. I know he's trying to be there for week one, but we'll see about that. Do you think they go linebacker at some point, Michelle?
Probably at some point in this draft for depth, but I don't think anytime in the earlier picks. So they brought in Devondre Campbell, and I know he didn't have the best of year with the Packers this past year, but he's a really, really good linebacker. I think he was a really solid addition for them. So as long as Dre Greenlaw is recovering, or if he's not able to get on the field, or he needs, you know, some limited snaps, I think Campbell will be just fine in that spot. I think he would outshine or outplay whatever rookie they drafted anyways. So I don't think there's really that much of a need.
Certainly, it's not at the top of the list. I think we can both agree. Offensive line, corner, defensive line, I would all put ahead of linebacker. Safety, I wouldn't even be opposed to a safety at some point ahead of linebacker. This is why you draft when you draft. Like, they drafted 2 linebackers last year because they knew they needed it. Like, if you can't hit on one of those and now you got to pick linebacker again, like, that points to kind of an organizational failure, I would say. So I hope that one of those guys, Jalen Graham or D Winters, could do the job. I mean, damn.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if they take another one in the 5th, 6th.
We will see. We will be live tonight. We're going to do another live draft show. I'm not sure who's joining me on that yet. Still working that out, but at least it'll be me. But we will be live again tonight on the Gold Standard Podcast Network. Like and subscribe to the YouTube channel once again. Leave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Pods. That would really help us. I promise if you do, we will read it on the show. Michelle, you're going to be working the draft again tonight for NFL Network.
Oh, yeah. All night. And now I have to prep some Deebo Samuel stuff in case he gets traded.
Deebo. Patriot. Oh, by the way, did you see Bill Belichick, by the way, on McAfee, the McAfee draft show? He totally blew. He spoiled the Niners pick. Because, you know, you're not supposed to spoil the pick on the broadcast. So they're sitting there talking about what the Niners might do. And it must have popped up on some screen or something that they could see on the set. Because all of a sudden, Belichick just looked up and went, oh, Pearsall. And McAfee's like, oh, what do you mean, Bill? You're not supposed to know that. It's pretty good.
Oh, no, I didn't. But yeah, I mean, Deebo to the Patriots might make sense because they took Drake May. And poor Drake May is going to be throwing to KJ Osborne and DeMario Douglas and
Kendrick Bourne off torn ACL.
Yeah, brutal.
Well, next time we speak will be a week from today, Michelle, as Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel are both on the team.
Yeah.
I think you're wrong. We will find out. Whatever happens, we will be here for you. Enjoy the rest of your Friday, everybody. We'll talk to you tonight.
Bye, y'all.